Good morning. I hope you're all well. This morning's scripture reading is from 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 19 to 27. For though I am free from all, I have made myself a servant to all, that I might win more of them. To the Jews I became as a Jew, in order to win Jews. To those under the law I became as one under the law, though not being myself under the law, that I might win those under the law. To those outside the law I became as one outside the law, not being outside the law of God, but under the law of Christ, that I might win those outside the law. To the weak I became weak, that I might win the weak. I have become all things to all people, that by all means I might save some. I do it all for the sake of the gospel, that I may share with them in its blessings. Do you not know that in a race all runners run, but only one receives the prize? So run, that you may obtain it. Every athlete exercises self-control in all things. They do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we an imperishable. So I do not run aimlessly. I do not box as one beating the air, but I discipline my body and keep it under control, lest after preaching to others, I myself should be disqualified.
As we move from worship into hearing from God's word, I just want to remind you that in relation to God, anything can happen. Anything can happen. And I want to remind you of that because I want you to open your mind and your heart and your life to allow God to do whatever he wants to do with you this morning, to approach God's word the same way we do with God's worship, with an open mind and open heart to allow for God to give to us and to change us. And so for any of you who have had difficult thinking this week, just bad thoughts about God or unable to really engage with him with your mind, I just want to encourage you in this moment to open your mind to him. For those of you who have closed off your heart, not allowing him to influence who you are or what you think or what you feel, and maybe closed off yourself to relationship, to open up again. And then there's parts of you that maybe you've said, I'm just going to keep that for another time. And God's saying, no, I really want to deal with that. To open up God to deal with you exactly how he wants to do with you this morning, knowing and believing that it is always good of God to open us up, to work on us, and to lead us to change. And it's in that spirit I just want to pray and ask for God to do that. So will you join me in prayer, just receptive to what God wants to do through his word this morning? Father, we come to you as children, ready for you to speak to us so that our minds would be changed, that our hearts would be transformed, and that our lives would be different because we get to interact with you and your word. So let this message be pleasing to you and powerful to everyone's life who needs it. Use it in only the way you can, changing as many people as you can. But it's in Christ's name. Amen. Last week, we started a new sermon series focused on COVID spirituality, is what we called it. Meaning that as this novel coronavirus has come in, COVID-19, it has had a profound and very personal impact on our lives. It has caused much loss, much reshaping of how we live every single day. And in doing so, it has also reshaped the way that we think, the way that we feel, and how we live in such a way that it has a spirituality about it, shaping what we think, shaping how we engage with God and engage with other people. And the big question that we asked is, how have you been shaped spiritually by COVID-19? It's not that we shouldn't be affected or influenced by it, but that in Christ, we don't have to be formed by it. That Jesus can come and fill us, and he can form and shape our lives, that whatever circumstances are around us, they don't dictate how we think, how we feel, how we act. But that in Christ, we can have the power to walk in a new spirituality. And last week, we talked about overcoming the spirit of fear. And this week, I want to deal with the spirit of division. Because it is easy to see the spirit of division right now. We see it everywhere. As racial injustice has come to the forefront of the conversation, we see the disagreements in different people forming into division, different camps that are demanding that you align with them against others. Even in the political sphere, we see how these disagreements have formed into divisions, or even how we're supposed to respond to COVID-19 has caused us to say, is this the way you're supposed to do it? Then you're against those people. And it has caused us to fall into different camps against each other. And that spirit of division takes what might be small disagreements and rejects the idea of love and forms it into hostility. And Jesus offers us a better way. And so in light of that COVID spirituality of a spirit of division, we want to be formed by the Spirit of Christ as we approach disagreements so they do not form a dividing wall of hostility, but they actually bring peace to all that we interact with. I really do believe that it is the Spirit of Christ that can give us hope going forward. You know, even though we do have an election coming up and that should resolve all of our divisiveness. Okay, maybe not. And so the question is, how does Jesus lead us in the middle of this spirit of division into something far greater? And so I want to remind you of what Paul reminded the Ephesians. In Ephesians chapter 2, he speaks directly to a situation that has those ethnic divisions as its history. And he's speaking directly to Gentiles, those who were not a part of the chosen people of Israel and the Jewish nation that were God's chosen people. And he speaks to them in Ephesians chapter 2, and he reminds them this. He says, remember that at one time you Gentiles in the flesh, called the uncircumcision by what is called the circumcision, which is made in the flesh by hands, remember that you were at that same time separated from Christ, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who were once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made us both one and has broken down in his flesh the dividing wall of hostility by abolishing the law of commandments expressed in ordinances, that he might create in himself one new mankind in place of the two, and so making peace, and that he might reconcile us both to God in one body through the cross, thereby killing the hostility. What Paul is reminding them of is that God so loved the world, Jews and Gentiles. God so loved Republicans and Democrats. God so loved those who believe in masks and those who don't. God so loved these different tribes that we tend to otherize and call names and put labels on and then cause hostility to be formed against each other, that God loved both sides so that he died on the cross for both of them. He died on the cross for you and for me because he saw that this dividing wall of hostility formed by us, not by God. God created us differently, but he did not create us differently to be divided against each other. He created us to experience the beauty and the blessing of diversity as something that enhances each and every one of our lives. And it is in Jesus that we see this dividing wall of hostility destroyed, not just once on the cross, but because of the cross, every single time we face hostility and division, he can defeat it and destroy it and overcome it by his power. That is the beauty of his death and his resurrection and the gospel that we embrace. And right now, as we experience this spirit of division in COVID-19, I really feel led by God for you and I to explore not just the spirit of division, but how we experience it right now in the digital space. That we are all experiencing discipleship, trying to follow Jesus in a digital world as much as a physical world. And that's because of COVID-19. We have not chosen to have the majority of our interactions this way, through a camera lens, digitally through Zoom or its little sister, Google Meet, or its little brother, Microsoft Teams. Like, we have not chosen to live in this digital world. But the mission of Jesus is not changed by us being pushed into a digital experience of connection over a physical one. See, Jesus in his kingdom is not impeded by the changes of COVID-19. His words to Peter were that he was the Messiah, and his kingdom would come in advance, and the gates of hell would not defeat it. And if the gates of hell cannot defeat it, then COVID-19 has no chance of stopping the advancement of the kingdom of God in your life and in this world. But for some of us, this digital experience, either from digital fatigue or our own fears of how to interact in this digital world, has caused us to shrink back and just wait for it to be over in terms of advancing our own discipleship or even seeking to advance Jesus' discipleship of the world. But Jesus did not wait for things to be at peace and back to normal to enter into our world in seeking to change it. No, we read about Jesus entering into a chaotic situation where the Jews and the Romans did not agree. That the Jews were disagreeing with the Roman government and its oppressive political ways. That even inside of the Jewish nation, inside the temple, there were disagreements amongst the religious people. The Pharisees against the Sadducees. The religious against those the religious called sinners. And then not only that, but their surrounding neighbors. The Jews against the Samaritans and then the Gentiles beyond that. And Jesus enters into that divisive situation, and he destroys the wall of hostility. See, when they heard that phrase, they may have been reminded of the temple in Jerusalem that had different walls and gates depending on your gender, depending on your ethnicity, that prevented you from experiencing the full presence of God. And Jesus comes in and destroys that, saying that you and I can have a relationship with him because of his work. And his work reconnects us with God. And then he tells all of us who are reconnected with God to say it's now your turn to go and reconnect a lost world to a loving God. And the question for you and I is, how do we do that as digital disciples? How do we do that as digital disciples? And that's why I wanted to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and the passage that was read by Tracy earlier to be able to look at the words of Paul and say, how do they inform us in this moment? And specifically, I want to look at our digital purpose. What does it mean to be a digital disciple? Why? And then how? Our digital presence. How do we be a digital disciple of Christ in every arena that we go into? And so looking at the digital purpose, what does it mean to be a digital disciple? Now, it's not different in purpose from being a regular disciple of Jesus Christ, meaning that we're still called to follow the ways of Jesus Christ, believing him to be the Messiah, and following his ways to love all, to seek justice, and to bring healing into every person and soul and situation that we find ourselves into. That hasn't changed. But if you and I were honest, there is a dichotomy that tends to exist between our physical presence of in-person interaction with people and our digital life. And even then, Jesus wants to break the dividing wall that separates some areas in our lives to be more spiritual than others. He wants us to be disciples in every area. And now that we find ourselves in this digital space, what I want you to reflect on is how have I been a disciple of Jesus in the digital spaces that I have inhabited? At work, in your communities, in your family, in your social media presence, what does it look like for you to embody the presence of God into those situations and those circumstances? And regarding the purpose, in terms of what is the goal for us to be disciples, Paul says that though he is free from all, though you and I have freedom to interact in all the ways that we want to on social media and in the workplace, he says, I have made myself a servant of all. And then he goes and explains why. And at first, it's a little bit confusing because five times he says that I may win people. And the way that he puts it sounds a little bit like assimilation. To the Jews, I became like Jews. To the Gentiles, I became like Gentiles. And at times, that even sounds like cultural appropriation, to be able to adopt the culture and the context. And it just feels a little bit like manipulation. Because when you hear this language of winning people, it sounds like he's just trying to win them to his cause, because it sounds like he is selfish in that endeavor. But what you see is that he is not selfish. He's seeking to be a servant of those people, that any attempt to assimilate is an assimilation of love, not of oppression in the forms that we have seen it, where other cultures that have come into our country have been told to assimilate in order to survive. He doesn't say assimilate in order to survive. He says, I assimilate and so that you thrive. He doesn't appropriate different cultural contexts. He comes alongside and understands different cultural lifestyles so that they can hear the good news of Jesus Christ so that they can thrive inside of their culture. Because he knows that Jesus transcends all cultures and contexts. And as we press in the passage, the five times where he says to win them moves into save them. And before we get this idea of Christianity kind of context and culture of triumphing over and everyone is just a soul project, he says the language of salvation is different than what you and I think. It's not merely convince them that Jesus is the Messiah. No, the word he uses is a Greek word sozo. It is the word that means to bring healing and wholeness to the whole self. And so what he is doing is he is looking at people and going, the love of God has come to make me whole, so I get to go and extend the love to others to make them whole. He is seeking healing to every soul, to every body, to every mind. And he is saying, by whatever means necessary, like Jesus has laid down his life for me, I will lay down my life for them. Because in every setting, I just long to see the healing power of Jesus Christ come to these souls. That's what Jesus wants for you. See, let's change the language from Paul doing it for others to Jesus doing it for you. Where do you need to be healed in your mind right now? Where are your thoughts running wild about how you think about yourself, how you think about others? Where are these walls that have separated you from a relationship with Jesus, either in the way that you think, or whether the walls that have been formed through trauma and difficulty and suffering in your life, that you've not opened yourself up to a God who can heal every trauma, to meet you in every suffering, to help you through every struggle? Jesus comes to bring healing to you. And part of you and I being a disciple in general is to believe that we are always on this process of being healed and made whole with the gospel of Jesus Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit, that he continues to go in to heal every corner of your life. What corner is he going into right now? Where does he want to take you to heal you? It begins with you being a disciple of Jesus in that way. And he's still doing it even digitally, because he doesn't need a place anymore. He just needs to come into your person, to come into your life, to be wherever you are. And so just posture yourself in such a way to receive that power now. And digitally, it is our belief that God can use this right here. You know, Paul talks about how foolish words of preaching can somehow save lives. See, I don't believe my words change people. I believe God's power in my words changes people. And the same is true for the person sitting next to you or the person texting you or how you receive any message through this digital space. What you consume, God can use to heal and transform your life. But it can also be true that what you consume can continue to destroy and harm your life. And so our digital consumption as disciples matters. How we use our phones, how we use our computers, how we use our time in that space matters so that we can be conformed as disciples to Jesus Christ. But the hope is that not just that we would be formed. See, Paul says it's not about your own self-interest. It's about how you can bring healing to all people in all settings. That you've been placed in that office, on that team, in those relationships, however annoying or pleasant they may be, because you have the healing power of God inside of you. So you can see them the way that Jesus has seen you. You can know them and love them. You can speak to them in different ways. See, there is a digital purpose that continues now in this season. We are not waiting for COVID to be done and in-person gatherings to continue and recommence. You've experienced that power, and he wants to continue to do it. So as this has gone on, there have been seasons and moments, weeks, even times throughout the day where I've felt like I'm tired of digitally engaging in prayer meetings and community groups and different things like that. But it's in those moments where I want to turn back to God and go, but I still believe you're powerful to interact in this way. And so for those of you who are fatigued, I just encourage you to return again and embrace the strength and what God may do in each of those settings. But as we think about that digital purpose, I want to transition to talk about what digital presence are you bringing in to every digital environment? Because God's presence can move through you in every setting and every situation, including every digital setting. And returning to that language of Ephesians about this ability to destroy the dividing wall, I want you to think about the dividing walls of hostility that exist so that you can compete, as Paul says, to be able to destroy those dividing walls in every setting. The first dividing wall is the dividing wall of judgment. When we are a distance from one another, it is easier for us to judge other people's intent, to judge other people's words, because they don't say it the way we want them to say it. It's not as nuanced as we wanted it. And it is easy for us at a distance of relationship to turn to judgment. And the way that we destroy that wall of judgment is with the power of the grace of Jesus Christ. And so destroy the wall of judgment with the grace of Christ, that you would embrace grace into every situation and circumstance. Grace meaning that you would extend unmerited favor, undeserved love towards someone else in their situation. Because this is a difficult time for all. And when crisis comes, we all react differently. And we are unaware of the full measures of the crisis and its impact on the lives of the people that we are interacting with digitally, either how we're receiving them or how we're interacting with them through a camera. And so it demands that we exude way much more grace than we would even exude in person to be able to extend to them a kindness that Christ has extended to us. Can you think about the grace that Jesus has given to you? Because if you and I were to reflect on the immense amount of rebellion and rejection and frustrations against Jesus and how he daily says, I extend my steadfast mercies, I extend my grace to you in every moment. He literally says, however much sin increases in you, grace extends all the more. And so I ask you, as others have sinned or offended or hurt you by what they say or what they think online or digitally, is your grace abounding all the more? So that what they experience from you is not the hostility of the world that seeks to cancel and judge and reject others, but the grace of Jesus Christ, that when the world is seeking to stone a woman for what she has done that's offended the culture around them, Jesus is bending low to love and to strengthen and empower her as he does in the Gospels. we get to destroy the wall of judgment that exists in this world with the grace of Christ. But beyond that, the second wall that we've been asked to destroy is the wall of silence. And we get to destroy it with the authority of Christ. I describe it the wall of silence because I almost described it the wall of opinions. But I do believe that we're in kind of this digital landmine space where it feels as though we might say the wrong thing or we're not participating in the right Instagram or Facebook challenge in the right way with the right spirit. And so we feel like this trepidation at times to engage in dialogue. And we've felt that way in the past with issues of racial injustice. And at times, that has led many of us to silence. And so instead of silence, I don't want you just to share your opinions. You know, the wisdom of God in Proverbs 18, verse 2 says, only a fool delights in sharing their opinions instead of seeking understanding. But what we see with Jesus is that he doesn't play a game of opinions. The way he is described as speaking as one with authority, not as the scribes of his day. I was having a conversation with someone in our community about this tension of seeing both sides of political arguments around COVID, both sides of political arguments around the future election, both sides even around arguments around racial injustice and how to resolve systemic racism. And they were talking about how exhausting it is at times to feel as though you're playing the middle ground and you're trying to hear this side and that and helping them reconcile to each other. But I do want you to see that Jesus doesn't play the middle ground game. He doesn't play this third way. He actually seeks the way of the Father and calls people to God's ways. See, I want to free you from this burden of being an expert on both sides so that you can be the bridge between the two. Because it is God's work to bridge that gap. He's done it with Jesus. And so if we become so obsessed with the wisdom and the truth of Jesus Christ, the most life-giving, life-breathing thing that you can do and speak into the digital space and speak into the lives of others is to not listen to their opinions and sympathize and listen to that side and sympathize in order to try to bring together both. It is to speak the path of Jesus Christ forward with his kingdom and call them to that. And the way that you do that is that you turn to his good news more than their good news. See, you get freed from the 24/7 news cycle, freed from the Twitter news cycle, freed from the Instagram story promotions to be so consumed and soaked and saturated in the word of God so that you hear his word. And by his spirit, the spirit says, that word applies to this issue for today. And God gives you a word that is filled with life for your own soul. And then you find yourself interacting with others in a way to breathe life into them. Let me tell you how God's convicted me of that specifically. As we approach the fall and the schooling options are nothing I desire, I reflect on how I was acting towards the school system in the spring. I found myself frustrated. I found myself judgmental. I found myself interacting with other parents, fueling all of our fiery frustration about what they should have done in the place because we are the smart ones and they need to listen to us when we're really just blinded by our own bias for our kids. And God's been convicting me to say, how are you in the presence of these parents, in the interaction with the principals and the teachers, how are you a life-giving, life-breathing force to them, supporting them and strengthening them and even giving them a vision beyond what school may or may not look like, but what's possible for families, what's possible for students, and what's possible for schools? And so now on those text exchange, as the fears of parents rise or in the interactions, I'm considering what it looks like to breathe a hopeful future. And my wife has been such a beautiful help to this, to begin to dream about what is the best environment that we can create for our kids, for them to learn. What are the even possibilities that we could pursue outside of the schooling system to be able to invest in their life for a greater future? And to begin to present that to other parents, to say, we actually are going to embrace the chaos and hope that in the middle of that, we could call our kids to something better than just frustration about how their teachers are doing remote or not. And it came because I turned to the scriptures and was convicted by Jesus not playing games with Pharisees that come and ask them questions, that try to pit him against the sinners of the day or sinners that hope that he can resolve their conflicts. But he speaks the better way in every situation. How can you speak the better way? To destroy the wall of silence, to not fall into the pit of opinions, but to speak with the authority of Christ to call people to the kingdom path forward. But the third wall that Paul speaks to especially is this wall of selfishness with the service of Jesus Christ. See, as we've been pushed into this survival mentality, it is right to immediately turn to caring for those closest to you. But the longer this goes on, I want to challenge you to consider the people that God has called you to serve in this season. Because we can hear, I have made myself a servant to all, and we can think big categories. I mean, Paul says Jews and Gentiles, and we can think these big categories of people that we're supposed to serve. But for Paul, they had personal names. In every single one of his letters towards the end, he speaks to them by name. And so instead of you thinking about the big categories or even industry chains that you might feel called to be a part of, I want you to begin to think of names, starting in very close concentric circles with your family, with your community group, and then to think about your neighbors or other families that you could be able to serve in this season. You have the power of Christ in you, so that they can experience the promises of Christ through you. And that demands that we destroy this sense of selfishness, putting up walls to protect ourselves, tearing those down so that we can provide for others in their need. And the last wall that I want to speak to is the wall of weariness. The wall of weariness. Because the scriptures say that when you are weak, in Jesus you are strong. And in this digital world, it is true that all of us are experiencing digital fatigue. We're experiencing that even with church. We're experiencing that with community groups. We're definitely experiencing it with work because we run from one work Zoom to the next. And then at the end of the day, the greatest moment of the day is hitting end meeting for all and closing out Zoom, and the heavens rejoice, and the hallelujah chorus pours forth. Digital fatigue is real. But what we need to be careful of is allowing our weariness to cause us to retreat from the work of God and loving and serving other people. I don't share this to speak guilt into your life. I share this to speak strength and power into your life. Because it is in our weariness that Jesus wants to fill us with his power. It is in our emptiness that he wants to come and to strengthen us. So that if we depend on his Spirit, we will have more strength for the next Zoom call. Now, we need to be real practical with that and recognize that we were not made to live in this digital space because it messes with our heads to interact with a two-dimensional person because we can't interact with the nuance of body language. We can't just kind of keep our faces fixed on a screen like this. We're not made to do it. Which means that there's going to be times for self-care that we need to retreat to be with God. This is why Marcy's message from a few weeks ago, what it looked like for Jesus as he shared and loved others to go and retreat and be with the Father, it was not just a kind of secondary moment. It was a primary purpose because he was filled so that he could empty himself for others. See, as we approach following Jesus as true disciples, seeking to love all, seeking justice for every circumstance, seeking to bring healing and sozo, wholeness, to every situation. We cannot retreat in a digital age. And I don't know what that's going to mean for you, because I'm not telling you to go get on social media and create a social media presence and platform. I'm telling you, wherever God has placed you, digitally, physically, that He has so for a reason, and that the power of the Holy Spirit can fill you to be a disciple in that situation, whether it be digital or physical. And as this continues to go on, we need to embrace the full work of Jesus and His kingdom advancing in all areas, especially as digital disciples. We cannot grow weary of doing good, for at a ripe time we will reap a harvest. And in this passage, Paul expects to reach a harvest of wholeness and healing for all people. And I look out onto a broken world, and I say, come, Lord Jesus, do that now. Do that in me, do that in others, and do it by whatever means you want to. And it seems clear to me that as we continue moving forward, it is going to be both digitally and physically in person that He wants to advance His kingdom. So reflect and consider, how have you been a digital disciple? Have you brought the power of Christ in every circumstance? Or how do you need to change? What are the walls that you have built up that you need Jesus to come and tear down, that dividing wall of hostility, so that you can be that peaceful presence in the digital space as well as the physical, so that we can see the kingdom advance on earth as it is in heaven? What a beautiful opportunity we have to not allow for COVID to shape and impede the kingdom, but for the kingdom to go forth despite COVID and defeat it eventually, because He will win. That's the promise. And so as much as I would long to be with you in person, I will continue to pursue discipleship with you digitally until that time comes. And I challenge you to do the same. To be a digital disciple, to let the purposes of Christ extend into every digital space you find yourself in, and then to be the digital presence of God wherever He sends you. Let's pray. Father, so much of this is confusing to us, but it's not confusing to You. And so we once again, with all of our questions, like Peter asked You, at the very end with John, say, what do we need to do? And You so clearly spoke to him, follow me. And so Jesus, as You lead us into these various digital spaces in our workplace and throughout our world, let us follow You, sensitive to how You may use us in that space to bring the sozo, the full healing and hope of Christ to them. And so we surrender that to You in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.